Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist Phil and Tegwith are back, and today we are telling you everything you need to know about Tiffany Ervin from Survivor 46, the eighth place finisher from that season. Now, Jenna Lewis also finished eighth on her first season, but this is the worst placing person on the show because she hasn't come back to improve upon her game, right? Jenna Lewis goes and finishes third on her season on All-Stars. So Tiffany is probably the lowest threat level, which has led Tegwith to saying crazy statements such as, go ahead, Tegwith.
She's a winner pick.
There you go. I mean, what's very interesting about Tiffany is when her name got announced, she was one of those where I was like, really? For 50? And maybe I don't feel like she hit the legendary status of 50, but Tiffany is definitely somebody that I'm willing to watch play again, right? Like, there's an excitement around it because Tiffany played 46. She was my winner pick before the season began. She came out really hot, found that idol right off the bat. Like, she did a lot in the early portion of that game. She was on that crazy Yanu tribe. She had to talk Banu off a cliff so many times. And then she gets in tight with Kenzie. She gets in tight with Q, and Q essentially loses his mind. And so there's so many question marks surrounding Tiffany of what can her game be and what did she learn from her last time. She doesn't hit the legendary status of a Colby, a Sari, and even some of the new era people that they did put on this, where, like, what is Tiffany's moment? She doesn't have Jonathan carrying the ladder, right? She doesn't have that moment. She doesn't have Joe with Eva. But she's still a good casting choice. And although I don't have a lot to say about Tiffany here, I'm very interested to watch Tiffany play on this season.
Yeah, I unabashedly, the moment I saw that, rumored cast, Tiffany was my winner pick because, and not to go too much into the thought process of it all, but like you see these other seasons, Amber and Jenna were like interesting choices for All Stars, and also Rob, honestly. And who are the final three there? You know, Parvati wasn't, you know, she was a bigger threat, but she wasn't considered a huge threat for Micronesia, goes on to win the game. Sandra, obviously she won, so she was a bigger threat, but like, you know, she's not the, you know, the person who knows about the puzzles, and she's not great at the immunity challenges, all that stuff, goes on to win the game. Sarah Lucina, not a huge threat, not a big, you know, name, and then goes on to win the game for Game Changers and, you know, all of the other ones in between. And so I really think that that is a plus for her because being kind of, she's just kind of neutral. I also think that one big thing that will help her is the fact that she was so ride or die for Kenzie at final three. When she was on the jury, arguably Kenzie did a great job at Final Tribal Council, right? But Kenzie or Tiffany being Kenzie's cheerleader was huge. And I think that there are going to be a lot of people who are going to want that in an ally. They're going to want somebody who is willing to say, oh, but you need to do this. Oh, but what about this? And she did this and all this other stuff. And I think that that is something that is actually going to really help her. She's also just a really fun, nice person. And she gets along with so many people. She's so bubbly. I just really feel like there are so many pros to Tiffany that whether she's a legend or not, I do think that after the season is over, she will be, because I think she will win.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely see the arguments for how she would win. And I agree with you. Like, if you think about it, she voted correctly at every single tribal council until the one where she was voted out of the game. And how does she get voted out of the game? Because Kenzie pretty much, does Kenzie officially turn on her? No, right? Kenzie talks about it. And then Maria is actually the one. Maria and Charlie pull it off.
Yep.
With Q. And I think the fact of the matter is, Tiffany has proven that if she says you're her number one, she'll work with you. Mm-hmm. And even with Q, for as much of a pain as he was for her most of that season, she said, I said I'm working with you, so I'm working with you. Let's go, Q. You and me are going deep in this season. She got backstabbed, right? Like, it turned on her before she turned on anybody else. So if you can make a day one alliance with Tiffany, you can pretty much confirm that that's going to be good as gold until the end. My biggest problem with Tiffany is none of the old school men seem like people who would work with Tiffany, right? That, and I, if we're saying that we're probably going to get two old school men, two new school men, Christian, I feel like there's better options for him, right? Like, I don't feel like Tiffany's not a threat. Tiffany is somebody who'd use him as a shield. That's scary. Same thing for Mike White. There's going to be other people that with Mike White, it's going to kind of be like, whoa, I want to get behind him. And Mike White's going to be like, that's somebody who's equal to me, like a Kyle or a Camilla or a D or something like that. No, I don't see her and Colby working together ever. I don't see her and Ozzy working together ever, although we know that they've met. So we know that that's like something that could happen, but I just don't see it. And then you talk about like Rick Devins doesn't really scream as somebody who's going to work with Tiffany. So if there's going to be two older school men on her tribe, I just worry that like Tiffany's options to me feel a little limited to the new era. And then maybe to a couple of the women from pre-40, but not a whole lot, because on this season, people are going to be looking for shields. Who can I hide behind? What can I do? Tiffany's not that person for anybody. Tiffany might not be a target early, but Tiffany's also not somebody that you're saying, oh man, let me team up with Tiffany because they'll vote Tiffany out before me. They're almost guaranteed to vote you out before Tiffany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I also think that like there is one thing of that could be a negative is like people know, like you're not going into season 50 not knowing the history, you know, the survivor lore, right? You're not going to do that. If you do, I think that's stupid. That's a bad gameplay, bad choice for you. But what I really think could be a negative for her is like people know that people without large targets do well on these seasons. And so it actually could be like, you know, in theory, a good thing for her, but then turn out to not be a great thing. But I will also say one thing that I said pretty much right away, and I think it was on our season 50, you know, when the cast was officially announced on that podcast. She's going into a season with two other people from her season, from her original season, that she didn't really work with. Obviously, she worked with Q, and she like, but she did get into public arguments with him. And there was, you know, he was a part of the blind side. She didn't work with Charlie like at all. So there's no threat that really, truly threat that there is a really tight duo coming out of her season. So I honestly view her as an individual player, kind of like Genevieve, even though I know she's going in with people from her season. I just don't necessarily think that she will be grouped in with them as much as, say, the people from 48 or the David versus Goliath people. I think that she is a little bit more singular than these other groups. And so that I do think is something that is going to be to our benefit. I also want to disagree with you on one thing. I do think that Mike White could work well with Tiffany. And okay. I think it's mainly, and I think you're right. She's not a big threat. She's not a big target. And I do think Mike is going to want to work with somebody who is like a big target, but correct me if I'm wrong. He worked really closely with Kara on David versus Goliath, correct? Mm-hmm. And I think that Tiffany and Kara are very similar personalities. I think they are very similar. They kind of led with the social aspect of it all. They're very bubbly. They get along with a lot of people. And also Tiffany is an artist. And I know that like in Survivor 50, you're not going to necessarily be, you're going to probably thinking of strategy first and then personality second. But I do think that there is a world in which Mike White likes to be around artists. Artists usually like to be around artists. And so I do think if they're on a tribe together, they might just hit it off. They might just, even though she's not a really big target, I do think that sometimes that social bond can actually build that alliance even on a returning season like this. And I think mm-hmm. that is something that could actually work well together.
I mean, I think that's a really good point. I think that's definitely a fair point with Mike White. But then the other person, the guy that I forgot was Coach. And so I don't see Coach and Tiffany ever. Yeah, there's no way in hell the two of them are working together.
I would pay to see that, actually. I would actually pay to see that.
Yeah. So here's what's also kind of fascinating to me about Tiffany. She gets voted out with an idol in her pocket, right?
Idolisha.
What?
She called it Idolisha.
Oh, there you go. So she gets voted out. She gets voted out with
Idolisha.
There you go. In her pocket. And so she goes out at 8th, which is the earliest of anybody who's on this season. Like, she's never made it deeper. Other people have. Everybody else has. But she went to 9 tribal councils on her season also. So it's not like she hasn't survived a bunch of tribals, right? Like, it kind of goes into the Emily thing where Emily only finished 7th. So she's not much better than Tiffany here. But Emily went to so many tribal councils because she kept losing. And so when you look at Tiffany, she goes to the first 3 tribals of the season because there's nothing that happens with the Randon vote because he gets evacuated. And then Jem goes home, and then they're right into voting because they're at the Mergatory. Mm-hmm. So she went to all but 1 tribal council that she could have gone to on her season. And honestly, if Randon doesn't get medevac, she probably goes to 10 tribal councils on that season. And maybe Q doesn't blow her game up. But I think for Tiffany, what she's going to want to do on this season is find more Kenzie type players who are predictable, social, not even like not strategists. Cause I think Kenzie doesn't get enough credit as a strategist, but somebody, she'll work with strategists if she can. Maybe Christian doesn't want to work with her, but I could see her wanting to work with Christian. She just isn't going to want to deal with the unpredictable BS that she dealt with on her season. Cause Q is what ended her game. Banu, nightmare for her. Why deal with that? She was probably begging Jelinski and Jess to come back into the game at that point. So for me, I think like the players like Joe, I could see her working with. Again, why I think Joe's chances to win the season are so high, because I just think he's a predictable guy and a lot of people want predictability on this season. Like, but Tiffany's never working with Coach. She's never going to work with, this is why I don't think she'll work with Devins, because even though he's more of a personality, he's still all over the place. She obviously won't be working with Q. I mean, if she worked with Q, I would be like,
I would be shocked. I mean,
yeah, that would be a cancel Christmas moment, because it's just like, how did this happen? What did you all do to make amends after the season? Because I just feel like, why would she want to deal with that? So I think that Tiffany's going to want to work with a lot of people. Here's my biggest fear for Tiffany. Survivor Second Chance. Monica. That's my biggest fear for Tiffany. Monica came into that game. Her Samoa game is so bad. Russell talks about it. She's the most transparent person here. I know exactly what she's going to do and everything. She comes into Second Chance. So a lot of people thought her and Wentworth were kind of like those, oh man, how did she get on? She'll go deep. Wentworth had more game. Monica didn't really have game there. And Monica ultimately just, she was seen as somewhat of a threat, but really it just turned out that she was expendable to everybody else there.
Yeah.
And that's what I worry about with Tiffany. Like, she might not be a threat, so she won't be used as a shield for people. Maybe people want to bond with her early, but does it get to a point where if her tribe loses 3 or 4 tribals early on, now it gets to the point of, hey, like, we're getting close to the merge. Tiffany hits the merge. She's going to walk to the end. Let's get rid of her now. That's what I worry about for her.
I could totally see that. I also want to say for Tiffany, she knows this new era game really well. As you said, she went to so many tribal councils. And I do think that's something. She also, as I've said in some other ones, other videos like this, she also has been blindsided. And being blindsided, I think, is so important to the second time you play. Because if you've not been blindsided, you don't necessarily know those cues. You don't know, you don't see the how people's body language changes or how they change talking to you. She was blindsided and with an idol in her pocket. And so I do think that actually goes to her advantage on this second time around. I also want to say she knows how to use the shot in the dark, or she knows the threat that a shot in the dark can do, because mm-hmm. she and Kenzie remember the fake idol against Jess. I do think that's actually something that is shows, you know, how her knowledge of the game, right? A fake idol makes it so that Jess 100 goes home 100%. If yeah. Jess plays her shot in the dark, we've seen it hit twice and throw things into chaos both times. And so without that, and Jess chooses her shot in the dark, there is a 1 in 6 chance that it is safe. And that would have been absolute chaos for everybody else still in the game, right? Or it probably would have just been Banu. But still, it's not exactly what you necessarily want that early in the game. And so I think having that kind of knowledge of the game, knowing, hey, this is a 100%, I know that this is going to work, versus do we want to risk it? I think is a really positive thing. She knows how to make a fake idol. She knows how to kind of pull it off. And, you know, I think it was Q who mainly did the most of the pulling it off part. But I do yeah. think that that is a huge thing that often goes overlooked, or people just get mad about it. It's either overlooked.
I mean, I was totally overlooking it, but I remember having to make the arguments on 46 where it's like, that was so mean what they did to Jess. It's like, you're playing the game of Survivor. Like, in my opinion, there's really only one person, I think, who's crossed the line on Survivor. Everybody else, it's like, you're playing the game for $1 million. Like, you go out there and you don't want to be like made a fool of, you probably shouldn't be playing Survivor. Like, Aubrey is coming back again, and her Edge of Extinction boot episode is one of the biggest runs through the mud we've ever seen. It's brutal. I do have to correct you though. I'm not going to let the Jamie erasure go unnoticed here, because that was a successful shot in the dark play, and it did cause any chaos. Come on. But so I hear what you're saying on that though, and I think that does get overlooked, because I think the Yanu tribe was such a disaster early, and so much of the conversation around that season is so focused on, should Charlie have beaten Kenzie? That is so much of what the conversation is. Can you believe Maria didn't vote for Charlie? That's all anybody talks about. That pre-merge portion, because of how in your face Banu was, that really does take away from how some of these other players played. Like, even Q in the pre-merge was playing a pretty good game, right? It was the post-merge at final 10, when he tries to get Tiffany out of the game, that he loses his mind and decides, I don't want to be here anymore. That's when his whole game changes. But Tiffany, she has game right off the bat. I also think she had like 19 confessionals or something in the first two episodes. So she's not bad TV. I think Tiffany for sure is one of the front runners to win this season. But there are obstacles. There are more obstacles she'll have to overcome than people think. Because if we're going to get two tribal councils for 6 straight episodes, there's so much room for her to go home. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. And I just hope that my hope for her is she comes out with the knowledge that she can swing, but doesn't come out swinging, knowing that she has the power to do so, but knows when to use it. And I do think that she learned a lot from her first time out. I think she's a very, very smart person. I think that she's also very in tune with herself and knows kind of where her strengths are and where her weaknesses are. And I think that she'll find somebody that will be able to bolster her weaknesses. And I really think that she knows the game. And I think that, you know, again, her going home with an idol in her pocket, I think is actually a very good thing for her time out here, because I do think that she'll be able to read the signs. I think that she's going to be like a Kelly Wentworth on Second Chances. I really think that rather than her being like Monica, I think she's going to be like a Kelly Wentworth. And I hope that she's able to go further than Kelly Wentworth. I hope she's able to win the whole game. But I really think that she has, I don't know, a je ne sais quoi, something. There's just something about Tiffany where I'm just very excited to see her on the screen. I love that I get to choose, have a winner pick twice in my life. Not my life, but, you know, I'm just excited about it.
Yeah.
And I'm just excited to see her play. And you're right. I think that there is no safety here with this 24 people in a 26-day game. Every single person has a big possibility of going home, every single one of them. But I think that Kenzie has a lot of upside, and I really hope that she's able to use that upside to her strength or just use it and really get her far in the game. And you know, and I think that there is, she has so many pluses for to be in the alliance with somebody. I think she's a very good alliance member. I think that she is smart, but she listens and she fights for people. And I think all of those things are huge pluses. And so I'm really excited. And I'm really hoping we see some really big things from her for 50.
I know you're picking her as your winner. And I did this with Sarah Lucina. She was my winner pick in Kaggeon. And then I picked her again to be the winner of Game Changers. And she got it right. So, you know, there you go. So you get to do this. It is a good feeling when it hits the second time. You feel like you won the first time too. But is she who you're actually rooting for? Because I know you just said, like, I hope she does. So she is who you're rooting for.
Yeah, she is. Now, granted, if you know anything about me, I adore Kenzie. I love Kenzie a lot. I was really rooting for Kenzie and Tiffany and just the Yanu tribe in general. And so I actually do really like Q. I think Q is really fun TV. But I see a lot of myself in Tiffany and that I feel like I'm almost rooting for myself to win. I feel like there's a lot of similarities between us both. Like, she's an artist, she's very bubbly and she's very creative. And I don't know, there's just a lot that I really like about her. And I get along with her really well. And obviously, so I am a little bit biased, right? Because I've met her and I just really love her. And I think she's so smart. So she is honestly who I am rooting for. It's not just a winner pick, a strategic winner pick. It's also just, I'm really excited to see her play. And I wasn't expecting to see her play. I thought that she was cut really early on. And, you know, I always knew that I wanted her back for a second chance. She was at like the top of my list for a second chance this season. And she was also one of the people that I wasn't super like, I don't think that she necessarily fits into the puzzle of 50, but now that she's here, I'm very excited for her. It's like, now that I have her here, I'm like rooting for her 1,000%.
That's how I feel too. It's like, I never thought she'd be on 50 because I feel like Carolyn should have her spot, right? Like, if you're just going to, if you just want to go a simple woman for woman swap, there you go. Carolyn in, Tiffany out. That makes the most sense to me. But like you said, now that she's here, I'm ready to watch her play again.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what she's going to do, but I'm ready to watch her play again because her alliance was very successful. Like, she's the first one out of her 3-person alliance and she got 8th place. So, and her closest ally won the game. So,
and I also want to say she's great. You said it earlier. She's really good TV. Like that moment. And granted, this was also partially Banu, but when Banu's just like on his knees and Tiffany's like, get up, all of that, she's also entertaining to watch. So I think she's smart. I think that she has a lot of plus side, but I also think she's funny and she's witty and she gives great confessionals. Her argument with Q, like when they were standing in that line, iconic, amazing. And I just, I don't know. I'm very excited to see Tiffany win season 50.
There you go. All right. Well, that's everything you need to know about Tiffany, because really we're pulling from the least with Tiffany here. Like, out of all the players, we are pulling from the least. But thank you all so much for listening to this. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment, let us know what you think about Tiffany's inclusion on this season and how you think she's going to do on this season, all that fun stuff. And we'll be back with another episode of Everything You Need to Know About Somebody. Again, I always like talking about this. We're filming these so out of order. I have no idea who's coming next. All I know is who we're doing last, right? That's the only thing I know. I know Sari was first, and I know who's going to be last, although I'm not going to tell all of you, that's for sure. But everybody else is just going to be a mishmash in the middle. So thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed this, and we'll see you next time.